The Bible says that, that was scripture, I didn't look it up, but it says Jesus, he was sent, spoke the word of God, and God gives the spirit without measure to him. That's a good prayer to pray, you know. If you're going to minister the word, give me the spirit without measure, because you cannot really minister the word unless the Holy Spirit is assisting you. We must understand that. I said we must understand that. This is a spiritual assignment that we have. It's not a mental assignment. It's not an academic assignment. It's based on a connection and a relationship and a partnership with the Holy Spirit. Okay?
Yes, sir.
And don't care how much you think you know. And don't care how far you think you have gone. Always going to need the Holy Spirit. So you the two things you tell him, three things the Bible tell you to do, don't grieve him. Don't quench him and don't resist him. He's a person. He has to be honored. If you honor him, he'll create atmospheres for you that you've never seen before in your life. And so we honor him tonight and honor the Lord Jesus. And let's go to work. You may be seated. The supernatural is an eternal realm, invisible, permanent, and unchanging. Wow. The supernatural is an eternal realm, invisible, permanent, and unchangeable. Think about those three description of the supernatural. That's why the three dimension is so important. We're going to go and give some deeper definition of the three dimension to operate in the supernatural. The supernatural is invisible, permanent, and unchangeable. In the supernatural, it is where all things exist and are complete. I would say parent of the supernatural is now. And it can only be accessed by faith. It can only be accessed by faith. And remember, I said a parent. Every child that is birthed from the supernatural births from the parent of now. Now, class, and we do want to, but I'll say it this way in a question form. If we want to know the supernatural and move in it, we need revelation and understanding of its three dimension. We need revelation. We want to know the supernatural and move in it, which is miracles, signs, wonders, possibilities in every situation, nothing impossible. That's what the supernatural is. The kingdom of God is a supernatural kingdom. The covenant that we have with Almighty God is supernatural. That's where Isaac came from. Sarah couldn't have no baby, but supernaturally she had Isaac, because God is a supernatural God. So we need revelation of faith, revelation of the anointing, and revelation of glory. That's the three dimensions. We need a revelation. We need to know how they tie in. When we need to know that they depend on each other. All right? So make a note of this. These are fundamental requirements. Faith, the anointing, and glory for receiving supernatural power from a supernatural God. Now, we cannot understand the glory if we don't first understand faith and the anointing. We cannot understand the glory without first understanding faith and the anointing. That was a powerful statement came in my spirit that I think I need to repeat tonight. To understand faith and understand the anointing, you cannot take the Bible and instruct God. The Bible is God instructing you. And I think in some ways we stayed out of the legacy of faith so long. When we found out about faith, we thought we could do everything with faith. And the Bible said, without faith, I know you need faith. But sometimes when a movement of God has taken place, a supernatural movement, if progressive revelation is not in place, you'll try to make the atmosphere conducive for still transpiring this the same thing when it needs the fullness of the Spirit. You try to do with substance only what you can do with the Spirit. And so that sometimes, so you have to know these three dimensions, when to step out of one and step in the other. You have to know how to make the transition. And I think that along with the transition, I heard the Holy Spirit saying, permission. Permission. You have to have permission to operate in certain function in the supernatural. And so you have to, so if you're going to have permission, then you got to stay properly positioned. You hear me now? You hear me? You have to stay properly positioned in righteousness. See? Because that's all Jesus was saying when he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's one aspect, how God laws and how God operates, spiritual laws and how they operate. We're all kingdom citizens. When he talks about the righteousness, he was talking about a proper alignment with the Spirit, alignment with the supernatural. Are you following me? See? And so, this first dimension, faith, there are some things we need to know about faith, I believe, that we have not yet have gone far enough in. Now, the first thing you have to understand, and I've heard it taught this way, but these two words I'm going to use are pretty good. What faith is not. Now, watch this. Faith is not being optimistic. Faith is not being, you know, you just, I'm going to get this out. This is going to work. This is going to work. No, no, no. You got to have some, to operate in faith, for faith to come out of the Word of God, you got to have some revelation. The Spirit of God has to be moving in order for faith to be alive. Amen. Amen. See, because you're going to tell you some things that you're not, things that you're not tapping into. Say, for instance, that woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment, you remember when she had the blood? The true meaning of that, say, she touched his garment. But the true meaning of that, she tapped into power. Yeah. Who tapped into my power? That's what Jesus was asking. Yeah. And so to tap into power of faith, we have to know it's just not an optimistic thing because the Bible said so and so, you said it, now it got to happen. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Because you can be a parakeet and think you're operating in faith. You can be a repeater. Huh? Okay. And so faith is not being positive in a secular manner or psychological facet. And I remember reading the book Faith, Foolishness, and Presumption by Apostle Price. He wasn't an apostle at that time. But I had got this thing that if you're in faith, you don't need no medicine. That's at the beginning of my ministry, you know. So, yeah, so Fred Flatt called me a fool in that book. Because I got babies, you see. Babies can't even tell you what's wrong with them. And I heard of a man holding a body in Baton Rouge. He said he's going to raise him from the dead. And that was foolishness if the Holy Spirit hadn't told him that. And so from that book, I learned that a lot of time you think you're operating in faith, but you're operating in presumption. You're assuming something's going to happen right. You really don't believe it. And that's real dangerous. Now, there are always some people, and see, can you agree with this, will take a truth to the extreme so that it become a stronghold. They just, you know what I mean, because nobody can talk to you about nothing else. Even though it's not working. But you hold on to it because you think, man, this is the most best thing I ever learned. We've been hungry so long. Well, just, hey, man, we've been hungry so long. If you're not hungry, you must be dead. But because in the spirit world make you hungry. So they sometimes go to the street that it become a stronghold and then a doctrine. Watch this now. Watch this. Now, we're talking about faith, you know. We're talking about faith. Yes, my God. Until finally it become a complete impediment to any further move of the Spirit. And faith is one of those truths that can be misunderstood. See, if you don't get faith right, if you don't get constant revelation about faith, you could be operating in being positive minded. And that's all that is, self-help. Or you could be optimistic or presumptuous. They resemble faith, but they're not faith. You wrote those words down? Optimistic, presumption, positive. Now we have a definite definition of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. You got your Bible? Who in here don't have a Bible? I'll put you out of this class. This is Bible school. I'll get you a Bible and let it stand outside the wall the rest of the night. Just, it's a Bible school. It's Bible. It's Bible. Or your computer, whatever. You know, I done got over that. They cried. They were crying like a baby when I told them about that. They thought I didn't see the tears, but they were crying all their bosom. The word faith in Hebrews 11, 1 is translated from a Greek word, pistis. I cannot pronounce it. But it means conviction or form or firm persuasion. Conviction or firm persuasion. I guess you can't get no firmer than Abraham got in Romans 4, 21. He said, I'm fully persuaded that what he has promised, he's also able to perform. That's a powerhouse verse there. That's a verse that carries the attributes of real Bible faith. Fully persuaded. I'm not looking at what I see. You know, you go back up that chapter. I'm not looking at whoever else involved in this thing. God has spoken. This is the way it's going to come out. I come in full agreement. Faith has to be in full agreement with what God said. No matter what the symptom, no matter what it looked like, no matter what nobody else saying, no matter if nobody have never received it this way. Faith, if faith get a revelation from God, faith gone function, fully persuaded, and conviction. 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 Both words, conviction and persuasion, is a Holy Spirit term. It's supernatural term. It's not normal. The word is not normally being used. When you talk about the supernatural, you talk about faith. And then, I know many of you all at one time or another, you should if you never have, read Hebrews 11 and 1 in the Amplified Bible. My. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the tality of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Wow. Faith perceives as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. I think that's a prime description of where you have to be to really operate in faith. And that can't happen unless the Holy Spirit. I say that can't happen unless the Holy Spirit. You know, you remember that rooster on TV? He say something, he say it again. That's the way you need to teach. Y'all, how many of y'all know that rooster? That rooster keep repeating. Now he say it over. He say it over and over again. You finally, that rooster's a good teacher, boy. You finally get what he's saying, you know. Some of y'all don't even know. You don't know the rooster. What the damn rooster? Y'all don't know the rooster? What they call it? I don't know what this is. Faith, and this is the only way. Watch what I'm about to say now. This is the only way. Faith is our response to the mind of God. The only way you can respond to the mind of God is by faith. Isn't that something? The only way you can respond to the thought, the plan, the purpose, the ways, the secrets, the mysteries, the understanding, the knowledge of God's plan for a certain situation is by faith. Which is revealed to the believer by the Holy Spirit, the mind of God. So that we might operate in, and exercise dominion over the dimension of time, space, and matter. Let me give you that again now. Because you got to get to the place to know. If you're going to operate in the supernatural, time don't mean nothing. Place, space don't mean nothing. Matter don't mean nothing. If you got a hold of God's mind, you see, God said over in Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. But when a man or a woman start operating in revelation that produce conviction and persuasion, they go to thinking and operating like God. In other words, now symptoms and situation and circumstances and things that I can see don't run me. See, faith cannot be ran by what it sees. Faith function in the invisible world. Faith call things that be not as though they were, and because faith call them, they'll come into existence. You have to understand that. It'll save you a lot of hardship and a lot of worry. But it has to be revealed by the Holy Spirit so that we might operate in and exercise dominion over the dimensions. See, we're going into another dimension, another realm of time, space, and matter. Because faith operate in now. Now faith is. And faith operate above and beyond. And faith operate, oh Lord, give me that word again. In an eternal realm. It operate on the basis of the eternal God. So God don't ever have to change. See. And so that time, space, and matter, look how time can mess your faith up. How many of y'all have been messed up in faith by time? Don't lie. Now, come on, let's go. Let's have church here. Yeah, I know faith, time done messed my faith up a lot of time because I thought it should wasn't on time. I thought this thing should have been happening a long time ago, but I found out God is delaying things to make the traffic come out right. I heard Lionel Richard on the master class right before I left home. He worked $350 million. I left the room walking from my wife. I said, I wouldn't change place with him tomorrow. I wouldn't. Not with my life. What? This life is unswappable. And my walk, my time I'd have spent with God. Money can't ever come up to that level. I don't care. No. Oh, no. Jesus. Wouldn't swap that out with nobody. And he was talking about how things happen for him. Faith is a divine ability given to man to go beyond the natural realm. Faith is a divine ability given to man to go beyond the natural realm, into the supernatural. Faith enable us to see into the supernatural realm. Are you listening? I'm about to make a statement. Are you listening? faith. Now, we're talking about conviction, of being fully persuaded, right? The title deed, the evidence of things not seen, right? Faith always allows us to cross the limits of the natural realm and to reach eternity. Notice another kindred scripture, you already know of it, but we'll never explore it to its depth. It's always going to speak masses of things we do not know. I wrote a book on it, How to Frame Your World with the Word of God, Hebrews 11 and 3. The scriptures are so loaded that you can go over and over the same scripture and get more out of it. It's God, you see. But in Hebrews 11 and 3, he said, by faith we understand that the world was framed by the word of God. Note that faith in God and his word come first, and then come understanding. Faith and his word come first, and then come understanding. Now, class, I know many of y'all watching by internet, listen. The enemy goal is to keep us within the limit of human. That's his goal. That's his goal. It don't matter how much church you got, how much you pat your feet, he don't want you to understand these dimensions. He wants you to, the enemy goal is to keep us within the limit of human reason, as he did Eve in the Garden of Eden. So he catch you without a revelation, he's gonna rape you. I said if he catch you without a revelation, you rape. John 10:8. If the evil one catch you without revelation, you trying to operate in faith without revelation, he's going to rape you. Now, the spiritual, invisible realm versus the natural, visible realm. The spiritual, invisible realm versus the natural, visible realm. Very important. Now, keep this in mind. Ponder this. That the invisible realm is superior to and have dominion over the visible, natural realm. Let me say that again now. See, because we're talking about what faith can do. We're talking about the superiority of these three dimensions that would usher us into the supernatural, usher us into places where nothing is impossible, usher us into the miraculous zone, the signs and wonders zone that the church have been so far away for so long. See? And see, well, I'm aiming in this school to turn out a breed that know how to go beyond that. That doesn't make you a mockery. It doesn't make you to mess over nobody. But you're just pulling out. You're ready to pull out. Ready to pull out. I know there's more. As always, more of God than we have. You know that, right? So let me say it again. Keep in mind that the invisible realm, which is the realm of faith, is the realm of the supernatural, is the realm of the anointing, is the realm of the glory, the invisible realm. It's the realm of God. All right? So the invisible realm is superior to and has dominion over the natural realm, or the visible natural realm. You see faith talking now. Faith saying, hey, watch what faith says. Hey, we can change that. See, that's the way Jesus thought. You know, Jesus said, oh, this could be changed. He knew what he was packing. He knew that anything can be dealt with. When we start having churches like this, and people recognize that's the type of church we are, they'll come by the masses. They're looking for it. You just got to get them through this slick grease that the enemy have put out. Form of godliness and denying the power. I call it slick grease. We got to get them through that grease, because that grease stick to them a little bit. So they can even hear and see and don't even believe it. They can see the glory of God. And that grease stuck on so much until the fire going to have to melt that grease off them so they can slip off that thing and start walking in the dimension that God, in the dominion and dimension that God wanted them to walk in. Hallelujah. You know, for my many years of ministry, and I see people hear a word from God and walk away as if you never said nothing. They didn't understand it. They said, we got the same thing. I got the same God, same faith. I go to the same church. I died. Jesus died on the same cross for me. Only thing wrong with you, you're ignorant. You ignorantly saved. Some people ignorantly saved. What do you mean they ignorantly saved? And I'm not trying to be ugly either. They're ignorant to their rights. They saved with no discipleship. They saved with no knowledge that they could be moving every day to another dimension. They save so much they're satisfied with survival. The natural dimension is like a straight line that has a beginning and an end. The natural dimension. My brother-in-law died. My wife's sister's husband died night before last. And she called and asked me to say words of comfort tomorrow. And, you know, I usually ask the Lord about it because I want to say something that brings the family can take home with them. And the Lord said, tell him he died in a supernatural position. See? What do you mean, Donna? She found him on the bed. That's not the position I'm talking about. See, he's separated by the flesh, but still connected in the spirit. That's a supernatural position, because now we're dealing with eternity, you see. Yeah. I preached another boy, a funeral, I think, when the boy was there, and it says it ain't over yet. And see, these are the type of things you, as ministers, you need to learn how to make the word alive. When people are suffering or when they're happy, you have to know. I've learned that over the years. You know, I've seen some of the most stupid funerals that you ever seen in your life. You know, I've seen God took them and all that stuff, you know. But you leaving the school, you're not going to do that. If you ever get a chance, you ask God to give you something with life in it. Especially if the person is a Christian. When you enter eternity, everything is. Everything is finished and complete. This is God's habitat where time does not exist. It's eternal, eternal and now. Listen, you're going to listen to hear this. I see it. God always speaks existence to the natural realm from the eternal realm. You got to do the same thing. God always speaks existence to the natural realm from the eternal realm. You manifest the supernatural through faith. You manifest the supernatural through faith. Just ponder these statements. You manifest, and then the Holy Spirit is going to talk to you. You manifest, even in your personal life, whatever you're dealing with now, your personal ministry, whatever. You manifest the supernatural through faith. And then this next statement is going to help you to know what I'm talking about. Faith operates in unchanging truth. You You can't change it. You can't change God's truth. So whatever way God said, that's the way it's going to come out. And so when I come in full agreement and in partnership with that statement in the spirit and release my faith, it has to happen. See, I'm messing with your faith right now. You know, because it messed with mine. You know, you got to go in a deeper dimension. You just can't ride faith. And we've been confessing and confessing and confessing. Uh-huh. But I'm telling you some things now that can cause manifestation and give you a chance to transitional chances to flow with your faith and through your faith to the anointing and then move in the realm of the glory where everything happening. Most time, class, circumstances, problems are often related to the natural dimension. Watch what it said now. My, I hope you catch this. But the natural realm is not our whole reality. Why? Because the natural realm is subject to being cursed. See, in the natural realm, natural, had been devastated by the curse that was put upon it after the fall. And it cries out, according to Romans 8, 19 through 22, you read it, and it cries out for God's children to manifest the supernatural through faith. The whole creation cry out that God's children, who's connected with God, who's carrying God's nature. You see, the natural knows the supernatural. The natural knows the supernatural. The natural knows that the person who walks in the supernatural got the answer. They know that. So, but we have to know it. And then we have to put ourselves in a position that the supernatural, and watch what I'm about to say now, that the supernaturalness in us might manifest. Whoa. Hey, somebody say amen on that. That the supernaturalness, come on, put your hand on it. That the supernaturalness in me may manifest. Both personal and help-wise. In my own life as well as people who come to me who have a need. May the supernatural come out of me. Once you expose properly to the supernatural, you can't ever go back. You can't go back to church, can't go back to religion. I can't stand religion. Because, you know, they're just singing and jumping around and nothing happening. And so a lot of people get disturbed with it, you know. Man start teaching. I want to warn you boys, too. I should have did it on the importation. My man start teaching the supernatural in his church, and it started flowing. And his church grew from 2,500 members to 1,500. It actually grew. Even now, I see a little scarcity in the word of life, you know, because I'm putting my miller to the pedal and pedal to the metal, and I see some of them, you know, they kind of drifting back a little bit, and you know, all the chairs were full. You see a little space there. I'm not bothered by it. No, because when we a finished product gonna produce more than what I had. And it's strange when that happened. You know, I'm gonna say it's strange when that happened. The money don't change. Well, I wasn't. I'm rocking. Wasn't giving nothing. No way. Just sitting up here eating and never giving no tip or nothing. We cannot get comfortable in the natural realm because it is always changing. Here's what we need. Our faith needs absolute, unchanging truth, such as the reality of Jesus, the kingdom, and his word. Our faith need unchanging truth. Yes, sir. See, you never, no one can ever walk up to you and say, God does not mean what he said. Or God have changed his mind. Now, sometimes in the scripture you see God, I think one time it said God repented. Well, the person changed and repented, and it caused God to be able to reach out and get them through mercy and grace. See, God's judgment has mercy and grace with it, and he said, I give mercy to whom I want to give mercy. He didn't change his mind, but you can change. Well, I'm glad, because we get conditioned sometimes, and I hope God don't hold me to what I did. Well, how I felt about that, you know, I made a mistake. So we have to come to grip and learn how to walk. You and Jesse, come sit over here with the rest of the people. How to walk in the spirit realm of faith. How to walk in the spirit realm of faith. Faith is a spirit realm. Faith is a, let me say it another way. Faith is a supernatural spirit realm that as a believer, as a person who is carrying nature of God, you can walk in that realm. No, Jesse, I say come in class. Class over here. You got to fight it. Sit beside him, down there and help him. You got to pay attention. In the supernatural realm, faith is a spiritual walk. Are you following me? Spiritual. Get in the class, Jesse. You ain't in the class. The class in these two sessions here. In the supernatural realm. That's my son-in-law. We're working for something. The supernatural realm. Walking in the spirit. Walking in the spirit of faith, you're walking in the supernatural realm. Right? Yes, sir. All right. Let me get back. We must decide which realm will have power over our lives. The realm of time, or the realm of eternity, or the realm of natural, or the realm of the supernatural. Listen, if we will walk in the spiritual realm by faith, we will in the natural receive all the benefit Jesus provided by the cross. Now, I'm gonna say that again now, because I want you to hear that and I want you to meditate that. If we walk in the spirit realm by faith, we will, notice how strong that is, we will in the natural receive all the benefits Jesus provided by the cross, salvation, health, wealth, whatever, prosperity, all that stuff belong to us. Are you listening? Yes, sir. Deliverance, strength, peace, and all other material, emotional, and spiritual provision we might need on this earth. See, the supernatural rule over the natural. Now, the only thing I warn you, look at me. I warn you. You start living in the supernatural and start having manifestation, you're going to lose some cousins, classmates, and some so-called friends, and some Bible partners that you've been studying with. You're going to lose them. Because you move the supernatural realm to a religious person is spooky. I never heard that before. That's good, though. Yeah, it's spooky. You know, I said, I don't know about all that. You know, like And we've been in meetings where bones, iron turning to bone. Then I relate to, the lady kept pointing to the apostle. Apostle, he's a black Jew. And he was in a meeting, and he's raised up in the glory world for 39 years. And the lady kept pointing to her, he saw teeth in her mouth, that's normal, you know. She kept pointing, he said, okay, yes, ma'am, you know, because he's trying to go on. And she said, no, you don't understand. She said, look, he said, I see. So he didn't say too much. She said, I came here, I had no teeth. See, I was sitting back there, God put a whole set in my mouth. And brought to her dentist the next week who pulled them. See, now this Western churches, they fake stuff. They put somebody behind the curtain to make a signal to try to make the supernatural come, you know. So when the real supernatural comes to the Western church, they don't believe it because they've been faking it so long. They hire people and come say they had something, they didn't have it. Not here. I'm healed, I'm healed. You never was sick, you heifer. You never was sick. You're lying, you see. And so it caused people to be leery about the real supernatural thing. Yeah. When we understand faith, the impossible becomes possible. Why? Because faith has dominion and control over the law of time, space, and matter. You hear me, class?
Yes, sir.
Y'all taking notes, I hope.
Yes, sir.
Listen to this. As we study real spiritual faith, faith that come by revelation, faith that come by unchangeable truth, you know, we ride that scripture. And I've seen them ride that scripture over the years, Romans 10:17. So then faith come by hearing and hearing. Now on the end of that thing, and hearing by the word of God. That's that unchanging truth. You don't hear that last part, the word of God. And it comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and unfolding and unraveling. You see what I'm saying? And see, included here is the mysteries, the secrets, the hidden things. Now they're hidden from the natural man. But if you call them, they'll be hidden from you. But as you cross over, as in these different classes, as these apostolic anointing is talking to you, we're crossing you over into a realm that you can become a pioneer in your family, a pioneer in your city. A pioneer of stepping out in places that you have not gone before. By trusting God with all your heart and leaning not to your own understanding. It's not an event, it's a lifestyle. And it's, what that short run is in the long run. One is a sprint. The other one is what?
Marathon.
What one is the longest one?
Marathon,
yeah, see. Just not a sprint. And you're in the marathon, you'll never run it out. There's always more. Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they should be filled. That's not natural. And what I see in the masses, they're not hungry. Even among ministers, they are not hungry. Because if you're hungry, partner, you're going to catch the bus. If the bus going where they're feeding people at, you're going to catch that bus. I see these guys let the bus pass them. They're not hungry. They think it's regular stuff. See, but you will know better when you leave the school. You will know better. You will know better. You'll be the best members your pastor has because you know the truth and you're in a position to be able to flow in the realm of the Spirit. Because faith... The impossible become possible because faith has dominion and control over the laws of time, space, and matter. Faith changes our perception of what is real and possible. So, it is pointed out From this day forward, make your plan according to faith. Not according to what you see. Not according to some foolishness. You know, you're out in the flesh, talking about you're operating in faith. No, see, this unchanging truth that produces faith going to bring the stability in you that you're going to know how to carry yourself. You're going to know what to go for and what not to go for, what you're ready for and what you're not ready for. See, there's a lot of things you think you're ready for, but you're not ready. And see, when you're developing yourself in faith, faith will tell you, hey, you're not ready. You're not ready. You're not ready. I talked to a young man the other day. He kind of fell off, him and his family, coming to church. I talked to him, you know, and he was talking to me about some problem he had. And he said he had hit a ceiling. And me with my ugly way, I said, God, there's no ceiling with God. He looked at me, so he said, well, let me go ahead with another angle. He says, I've come to the end of the cliff. I said, I look at him a few minutes, I said, jump off. Yeah. See, I'm telling him I operate in faith all the time. Yeah. God has got him in a position that he got to operate in faith or he's going to die. Yeah. And I'm not talking about dying physically, he's just going to die. He's going to stay in the same place where he is. It's like being dead. If you stay in the same place in 2015, you're going to be in the same place in 2018, you dead. Yeah. And so when I talked to him, the minister to him, the word of the Lord came to me, what God said, what Jesus said to Simon. Simon, Simon, Satan desired to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you're converted, strengthen your brother. When you come back to faith, see, didn't convert your brother. Now, if he take heed, now I actually got off the phone, prayed in tongue, called his name, called his family name, and I'm praying in tongue until my time, until the Lord let me up on it, that his faith fail not. See, because what happened, if you're not operating faith properly, you're going to put it on faith. Satan trick you. Then you're going to start making excuses not to come to church. Then Satan's going to make you believe you're better off for not coming. He'll let you have a little something like a little improvement. Because you're about to hit the big bag. And Satan's going to give you something else and patch you up. And they say, well, now you see, that church was holding you back. You put too much money on the altar. It's stupid. It's just stupid, man. It's stupid. It's dumb. It's dumb. It's a process. It's a process. It's a process. So I pray that his faith fail not. Well, Peter did come back, you know. God got him back. Make your plan according to faith. Now, this is a mundane, but yet you can use your faith in everything. And they say, here's an example to give us of paying off your mortgage. Bank has determined the time is 30 years. You know, someone's got 20 years, et cetera. But what if you were to determine the amount of time? See, that's faith. No, we ain't talking about no money. We're talking about faith that caused the money to come. Come on now. By exercising your faith, and pay off the mortgage in 5 years. Done that. I know it's possible. No money. No money. All I had was faith and a plan from God. I tried to budget and pay interest and all that stuff, you know. But you got to have faith too, you know. By faith, we can allow God to supernaturally bring into the natural realm the resources we need to keep us from being enslaved to debt. Watch this now. It's in big bold writing in my notes. We submit to provision, not to the debt. Now, most of y'all submitted to the debt. Because, you know, you made a commitment. You got your name on the line. You won't pay for it. I understand that. You rightfully, you need to pay for it. But you ain't got to pay for it like they want you to pay for it. Now, I'm teaching you, and have experienced it. Huh? And I tell you what, it's a whole lot better being debt-free. Don't let nobody lie to you. They're lying like a dog, man. It's better. It's better to be debt-free. It's better to go in a store. It's better to go Christmas without that credit card. It's better to go on vacation without depending. You go on vacation, and the last day, and it gets almost to the end of the days, you think about how much you done spent, and you know you got to pay that stuff back. The vacation ends 2 days early. But some people just don't care. They don't feel it. They get the best way they can, and they suffer. Let's move to a few minutes to the anointing now. And you know, there's a whole lot of things we can explore in faith. Wait, let me see what I want. Hold on a minute, Claire. All right, let me give you this. I say it, but I'm going to say it. Faith is the first dimension of the supernatural. The only way to transition from the natural to the supernatural is through faith. Faith is God's radar in a believer to determine the distance between the natural and the supernatural, the visible and the invisible. All right, here's another statement about faith. Faith touches those things in the supernatural realm that are already complete but cannot yet be seen in the visible world. Faith touches those things in the supernatural realm that are already complete but cannot yet be seen in the visible world. Wait a minute, I don't want to pass by that. Wait a minute, hold on a minute. All right, faith is always now. It's a strong conviction and firm persuasion. Went over that. Faith is not in the future because faith is not going to be. Faith is now. Got it? Listen. Many believers are unaware of what God is doing and saying at that moment in faith. If you're not in faith, you're not going to be aware of it. When we live according to sight only, we essentially abandon the reality of faith. When we are persuaded or totally convinced, nothing will make us waver or doubt. See, you got unchanging truth, and you got the Holy Spirit working at the same time on your behalf. Regardless of what people say, oh Lord, have mercy. The symptom we have or the circumstance we experience. You heard that? Regardless of what people say, the symptom we have or the circumstances we are experiencing. The circumstances, they are dying each second and passing away. Sickness is passing. Poverty is passing. Oppression and depression are passing. By faith, we believe that God is intervening now. Wow. Wow. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to move to the night in a minute. But I want to cover this. I don't want to miss nothing because what I'm doing, what the Lord is doing, is drilling a hole in somewhat in the whole school of faith. When we have God's faith, you remember what Mark 11:22 said? How many of y'all remember what Mark 11:22 said? Look at y'all. Mark 11:22. Mark 11 chapter and a 22 verse. You have no business trying to operate in faith if you don't know what Mark 11:22, 23, and 24 says. No reason. Then there's a short voice too. Go ahead and peep. Mark 11:22. My God, you talking about you operating in faith. How you going to operate in faith? You don't know this. Have faith in God. My, my, my. When we have God's faith, when we know we have God's faith, his word in our mouth is the same as it is in his mouth. It's time to take action. See, when you got God's word, see, God, thy word I hid in my heart that I might sin against you, you know, and they talk about believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. You get that faith in your heart. That's a God kind of faith. God wants us to have the same faith he has. Wow. Possible. Yeah, oh, maybe this was the Lord when we get there. Many people today are sterile. They don't know how to bear fruit in their personal life, marriage, or finances because they don't understand God's faith. Some ministries are stunted, unable to grow a better desired fruit. They need to be transformed by God's dynamite faith. The more time, you listen, class, the more time we spend trying to reason what God wants to do in and through us, the more we will lose the manifestation of the supernatural, his miracles and blessing. We got to operate, faith operate beyond reason. Are you still with me, Clarence? See, I'm trying to drill all the things that we've been working hard in faith, but not much happening. Faith cannot be judged or proven in a court of law where reason rules. See, if reason is ruling in your mind, you're not gonna, faith can't prove itself to you. Why? Listen, my brothers and sisters, because there are no books or codes that can judge faith. Wow. 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 Do your job, Donnell. If a doctor diagnoses a sickness when God's word says we are healed, the human mind will most often believe the verdict of sickness. Why? Because it doesn't understand that beyond the natural realm there's the supernatural. Listen to this. To live by faith, we must disconnect our natural reasoning ability and allow the Holy Spirit to loose our minds to see what God can do. To live by faith, class, we must disconnect our natural reasoning ability and allow the Holy Spirit to loose our mind to see what God can do. Now, next person I can't sleep, you're going to stand up. Just stand. Next person I can't sleep, you're going to stand up till I tell you to sit down. If we believe only in human reason, we will doubt God's power. Listen now, because this is where we're getting the problem at. Faith doesn't need human reasoning in order to believe, because it supersedes such reasoning. You probably got something in your life now you need to deal with. Natural reasoning can become a mortal weapon against us when it causes us to accept human explanation for why we are sick, poor, depressed, or experiencing all sort of problems. You must arise above the natural to the dimension of faith. You know about human reasoning, right? Lord have mercy. Faith is a movement. Faith is a supernatural movement. When we go from faith to faith, from one level of faith to another, from faith to faith, from one level of faith to another, the movement does not begin at the original point of departure. See, faith, well, faith is moving, so faith don't stop where it was. Got it? Other words, faith, real Bible, unchanging truth faith, has birthing ability in the spirit realm that can convert the spiritual into the natural. See, you have to stick with it. You have to say what you believe and believe what you say, or say it till you believe it. See, actually, we have thought that confession is to make the thing come in. Confession is to make you go out. Confession is really escorting you out of the natural, where you can operate in faith and command, decree, and declare your spiritual right. See, a lot of times we only am in our confession at the manifestation. But your confession really am in at your heart. Because once your heart catch it, it's over. How many see that? How many can appreciate that? See, to operate in faith, see. All right. Faith take off from a place of faith to which we have already advanced. Otherwise, faith never goes in reverse. Otherwise, faith never stay in the same place of progression. Or it's not faith. Faith always moving you a little closer to your target. The closer you get, the tougher it might get. But you got to hang in there. Now, an essential key to the advancement of your faith is continued revelation, revealed knowledge from God. Faith work with knowledge. I say faith work with knowledge. The movement of faith. I wasn't going to go to the anointing, but I had some notes here. The movement of faith occurs when we respond to or act on the knowledge we have received. To walk by faith, 2 Corinthians 5, 7, 8, walk by faith, not by sight. To walk by faith, we must have knowledge. Your faith has to have a word base. Your faith has to have a word foundation. Or Satan gonna shake it. Listen, when a person lacks revealed knowledge, it is impossible for that person to move to the next level of faith. But when revelation is present, faith is catapult the individual to a new place. Or faith can catapult. Wow. Wow. I'm going to school tonight, boy. So the amount of revelation an individual has determined the level of faith he can operate. And so this parakeet and stuff, where study, but then there's a saying that ever learning never coming to the knowledge of the truth, because information is not revelation. See, and see, many people try to operate on information of faith. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Many people try to operate on information of faith, when it has to be revelation of faith. Yeah, all right. See, you know the scripture, you know the chapter, you know the verse, you know that. Yeah. But you have not the mystery of the scripture, or the secret of the scripture has not been revealed to you, and you're trying to operate in it. Now, we see all these holes, H-O-L-E-S, all these holes in faith. It's really not the faith, it's the holes. People not getting healed, people not getting, you know, 2,000 women in the church, and you're the only one, you can't find a wife. You got 2,000 single women in the church. You only one man, you can't find a wife. You're blind as a bat in a hailstorm with a crazy man head on. You should. He got this guy in my church, and he's been with me a long time. You're over 80 years old. You couldn't tell it. You know, he acted like a young man. I mean, just, and him and I have been friends a long time. He called me to the side and said, "You think these fellas blind?" Eighty-year-old man seeing better than some of y'all. a good Holy Ghost filled, well-trained girl that come from under me, Ron or Melvin or Phil, some of these boys, you better catch her. If she been with us 4 or 5 years, we broke her in, man. You go out there and find a hussy. Every call you pass by, she want it. I want a car like that, me. No job. Take you back to your daddy. Let your daddy get it for you. Did he ever get you one like that? Kind of call your daddy got. We cannot walk in the present truth with yesterday revelation. Why? Because faith is now. Is always in the present. I gave you the scripture, Isaiah 43:19. It's always in the now. To have faith in the now, we must have present truth. See, saying it over and over again. You can find some flaws in your faith. Your faith must be accompanied by action. It is impossible to become stuck in a certain level of faith. Not faith at all if you're stuck. And class, there are clear signs that show when faith has become inactive among believers. Clear signs. Clear signs. You know, you have to guess about it. You don't have to cry about it. Here's one. When evidence of spiritual life is lacking in a church, when the congregation no longer increases, when signs, miracles, and wonders cease, when God's presence is nowhere to be found, the people of faith have stopped growing. It's time for to tear something up. If our faith, you listening, is not kept active, nothing will happen. I'm giving you this already. I'm giving you that already. All right. A few minutes on the anointing. Then I'm going to close. A few minutes on the anointing. It's the second dimension of the supernatural. Three dimensions. What's the three dimension is? Now, class, look up here. I've been in ministry 43 years. You can ask ministers who've been in ministry for 50, 60 years in this area, and some of the biggest ministries in the world, what is the dimension of the supernatural? And they could not tell you if it saved their mama's life. Some of the largest churches in Baton Rouge, they know nothing squat doodly about the supernatural in which the Holy Spirit is teaching us now because it's apostolic. See, and when you go in the glory world, you don't leave faith out. But you stop moving, let God do what he want to do, but your faith just go with him, you see. Same way with your anointing. All right, now, the anointing it says from the founding of the nation of Israel, anointing with oil was a mean of sealing the consecration of God on certain people. When you call to carry out a special function, example, priest and king, in Exodus 28:41, and thou shalt put them under Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and shall anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them, that they may be ministers unto me in the priest's office. Exodus 28:41. There is, class, a personal anointing, and there's also a corporate anointing. Now what I'm doing is, I'm prompting, I know that we're making a transition in this church to the supernatural, and God manifested himself at camp meeting so much. And I went to another city, did it again, another city, did it again. And I studied so much, I went on another subject and got in trouble. The Lord told me, says, I'm bringing the supernatural into the church. Get back and teach my people about the supernatural. Stay on that. And my congregation, I came back to it. See. It's not an event. It's a lifestyle. It's the book of Acts. See. And it's going to take a while for the church to come to this group, ministers to come to this group. But just the other day, yesterday, young girl started crying. Her college bill, she went to college, her college bill was, I think it was over $10,000. She'd been paying on it, you understand? And she went to pay on it. And they say she owed $3,000. And she asked them to send her a record on it. They sent her a record. It still was $3,000. $7,000 disappeared. That's supernatural financing. Now, old bro Joe, he would say, they made a mistake in the book. She never did owe that much. She stopped. I ain't got time to buy that. They're trying to discredit God. They believe in Donald Trump. More than believe in God. And Donald Trump ain't got as much money as you say. He got figures. Money, when you get your hand on it. You don't believe all these figures. You know, they got this diagram drawn. Right? You can't spend no diagram. And it don't take much to be rich among church folks. We let the world take our money. Then you start talking about money, you get upset. I want to hear about Jesus. Well, Jesus, hear about Jesus. He said, I come that you might have life. My goodness. Both anointing, both personal and corporate anointing, are necessary in God's kingdom. Ephesians 4:7. What did Ephesians 4:7 say? Ephesians 4:7. She got it. She stayed like that. They went to sleep. They eating popcorn. What they doing? Ephesians 4:7. Got it? But every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Both anointing are necessary in God's kingdom. And you know, the anointing is a gift. Corporate anointing is an anointing of the Holy Spirit that is poured out when all the believers present at a meeting of the gathering. Personal anointing is a measure of supernatural grace. That is, supernatural grace that God gives each believer to enable that individual to fulfill his or her calling. The Apostle Paul talked about that supernatural grace. He gave grace the credit for his ministry. Let's define anointing in close, class. The anointing is God doing his work through our humanity. It is the ability God gives to the believer to accomplish the work of the ministry. Not to be used for personal or selfish motive. The anointing is used to consecrate, identify and prepare a man or woman to manifest God's glory. I'm going to give you that again. The anointing is used to consecrate, identify, and prepare a man or woman to manifest God's glory. Gifts, I've seen it before, gifts and talents without the anointing will never bring glory to God. They'll never bring glory to God. I think that's enough tonight, class. Study these notes. Then you have the opportunity, I don't know, they put this on the internet, it's on the internet, you have the opportunity to go back and go over it. Do y'all have access to this after I finish with it? What? And you fail a test? What? You better go back over this thing and read this thing and hear these different aspects of faith, because what we did is we hit on some of the things that the word of faith really didn't tell us. All right? And your faith ought to be exalted at this time. To another dominion, another dimension that can take you into dominion of your personal affairs as well as the call that God had placed on your life. I had a busy week this week. I had to do impartation this morning and tonight, and then I had this funeral hat on tomorrow, and then I do Bible training tomorrow night, and then I'll be in Florida Thursday and Friday. Y'all be praying about that. And y'all in the class, if you can't make these meetings, they got these men, they're gonna go with me, but y'all need to be on the internet. I need to make it a requirement, because I can't get all I can get to you if you're complacent. I mean, I was so hungry in school. Not educated school. I wasn't hungry at all. I was a dummy. But because I just want to pass. I made just enough to pass. But when I got in the Bible, I was a straight A student in school. I made so many A's, the dean of the school asked me to take his class when he's not there. He said, Thompson, I trust you. When I'm not here, you take the class. See? And then the students got to liking me, because I would dig and I would pray a long hour before I go in there. And then it created an atmosphere. I think sometimes they wanted me to teach more than they wanted the dean to teach, you know. But it's just, you ask God to birth a hunger in you, not just for scriptures, but for him. Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. He said he'll be filled. This is not a drabby life as some people would make you think. This is the best life you can live. Lonely sometimes? Absolutely. But that's on purpose. John was out on the Isle of Patmos. He said, but he was in the spirit on the Lord's day, so he really wasn't by himself, wasn't he? But then he had a vision, and then Jesus showed up and started talking to him. Jesus ain't going to too much talk to you in a crowd. And that's why you one thing I have been blessed with, I'm surrounded by my family. My children, son-in-law, daughter-in-law, they surround me all the time. So, you know, like holidays and different days, they're all at my house. They're with me. Because they know I'm not going nowhere else. You see, I'm in a crowd. In a crowd, I feel stupid. Because, you know, I won't scream hallelujah. Yeah. Well, not right, you know, somebody trying to get married or trying to have a reception or something, and you won't scream hallelujah, you know. So I'm not too good at a crowd. People invite me to things, but very seldom I go. Not being ugly, I send a gift. Not being ugly, but I'm sitting there. If I said 2 or 3 minutes, you're going to talk about Jesus. That's right, because I don't have no other conversation. I read books, I know a lot of things, secular and studied psychology, all that, but my mind is always on the Lord. So ain't no sense in me. And then people get nervous. People start dropping it. People start dropping punch. I mean, they're just nervous because you're there. They know, so, oh, there he is. I walk in a room. I walk in a room the other day, and they had some people sitting there. They were just talking when I walked in. They got quiet, started looking at each other. And so I never sat down. You know, I stayed a few minutes, and I walked on out. Let them go back to their flesh. Let them go back to their flesh party, you know. So that's part of it. That's part of it. But the dividend, the payday, is so much greater. You can help so many people. You know, I'm talking to 100 something ministers today. Open the line. You got any questions? There's some of my students. You got any questions? Just go ahead and ask it. See, I'm trusting the Holy Ghost to answer. I don't have all the answers. You know, we had a woman answer a man's question. A man asked a question about his church. He's trying to teach his church how to give. See what happened? Your teacher beat people across the head by giving, and you ain't giving. People can smell you. You're trying to bring them somewhere you're not. You see what I'm saying? So I told him, just get out in front and lead them. But then this lady come and told the whole thing. Lady said, I thought tithing 10% from my church, and the lady brought me $1,000 of money, just keep on coming, she said. She told him. Then another lady talked. And she told about LTMA. I appreciate that, too. I thought thinking about it this afternoon. She said, I don't have no question. I just want to tell you how much I appreciate LTMA, how much it will help me in times I really need help. And so I told them, let's all agree, and I prayed for them. Just those little things like that mean so much to me. People getting help. Just like I come in here, you know, sometimes you think, you say, boy, he's starching cold. He'll cut your neck off. No, I'm serious about this. I love you more than anybody else love you. But I know what it takes to get here. And I haven't gotten there. There's always more room in the spirit world to develop. And as you develop, you see, when God talked to Abraham, he said, now, Abe, it's not just about you. 12th chapter of Genesis. He said, I'm going to bless you, but I'm going to make you a blessing. See, in ministry, you always got to be one made a blessing. See, ministers get a mistake if they just won't be blessed. Now, if you become a blessing, you know, the solution that the secular world know this, you solve a poison problem, that poison will stick with you a lifetime. And we're supposed to be problem solved. Supernaturally. Are you following me, Claire? I heard Lionel Richie also saying this. Which touched me. Sometimes you can learn something from people, you know. He says his whole career is based on three words. I love you. He says some other phrase, I want you, I need you. But he based his whole, he said he tried to go out that circuit, it won't work. He just, I love you. He said, somebody sometime going to say I love you, or you want somebody to say I love you, or you want to say to somebody I love you. So compassion and love has to be the foundation of your ministry, but it doesn't mean you have to be weak. And you can't hang with those you teach, because you got what you call a familiar spirit. And very rare, there are some people. I had a man, the same man, I said, was 87 years old. Him and his wife was good, close friend of my wife and I when we first started out in ministry, pastoring the church down in Darrow. We used to go out all the time to eat, have lunch together, and talk, and laugh. But when it got down to me saying something, man, he turned into another man. He saw me as another man. That was unique that God had given that. He wouldn't say, well, you know, I go with pastor. He never did that. I mean, he made correction. He said, pastor, I'm wrong right there too. I'm going to get it straight. That's a wrap, because most time people get around you, you know, and they lose respect. Now, I got some boys in here hanging close to me, but they never lose respect. They know how to shift. They know we're laughing and talking for a few minutes. They know when I get in another mode, I ain't laughing and talking no more. You know, I got a revelation coming in my mouth, and they ain't going to miss it. See. So I want you to go over those notes. I want you to reinforce your faith. There's some things God wants you to have. and just this lesson tonight can cause you to call that thing in and to change that situation. Listen, there's no case too hard for God. And when you're ready to complain, find something to give thanks about. Now, I told you about the story about this man, or was a man who jumped out the bush and cut people with knives in the city, and he died. My spiritual father told it. And boy, the people said, you know, he had go around and said, that dirty rock, he should be dead, you know, because he had him scared all the time. Got the one man, he didn't talk about nobody. And they said, what you got to say? Oh, he had some beautiful eyes. You know, I said, you heard what he said. But the man just wasn't going to say nothing evil. Check your mouth. Good water and bad water can't come out the same fountain. Check what you've been saying. Some things contaminate your faith. Who that's? Philemon? Verse 6. Good, turn there. I'm the dean. I can do what I want here. Is that Philemon? I think it's verse 6. Huh? That your communication of your faith be effective? Yeah, uh-huh. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Instead of saying that other thing, say something good that's in you. You know, I'm healed because Jesus said I'm healed. I'm blessed because Jesus. The same breath you use to talk about that other person, you could have been speaking your faith. Now, that's humanistically, that's not the easiest thing to do. The Lord just brought that scripture up. You know what's 1 John 5, 4 say, right? What? Look how you looking at me. What 1 John 5, 4. You know what it say, right? Well, tell them, show them what 1 John 5, 4 say. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Overcomes the world, so that means any opposition, Satan go along with the world. He's the god of the world, so it means your faith overcomes Satan. Yes. My wife and I took Mark 11:23 and changed a lot of things. Very, very, I said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast, and he shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. I raised my children on those voices. My older children, the younger boy, he got some of it, but them other ones, Shauna and Leroy and Montreal, knew them scriptures. They had to know them. I put it on a card. They had to, and I called them out on the carpet. Say, all right, say it. Believe it. Man, they got so good at it, they couldn't have no raffles at their school or nothing. They won puppets, everything. Everything they put in the bag, my children brought it home. Did it so much. I told you the story before. Did it so much. Shauna did it so much in her latest class. Every time they had something to pull for, Shauna would sit down and whistle Mark 11:23. She believed God and believed Daddy. And she'd win every time. So the lady asked her, say, what are you doing? How you win every time all the names jumping up in it and your name come out? Shauna said, I'm using Mark 11:23, my daddy taught me. The lady been here 25, 30 years. She became a member. Yeah, one of the most faithful help with the ministry. She was one of the most faithful members of God. Shauna got her here. Shauna got her here using Mark 11:23. They went to a Catholic meeting. I don't know how they got to the Catholic meeting. Went away with somebody else. Called me and said, Daddy, come on, we got a puppy. Said, they raffled a puppy off, we won it. Mark 11:23, we got that puppy. It works. It works. Study Mark 11:22 and 23. Combine it with 1 John 5:14 and 15. That'll take you anywhere. Stick with it. It brought us out of the Stone Age. It brought us out of places of the natural into the supernatural. Those are very scripture. Mark 11:24, my wife and I used that scripture. I heard my spiritual father talking about it. He came off his deathbed with that. And so I said, I'm gonna apply it to my life and to other things. It started working, almost say working like a charm. Working like magic, but it was supernatural. But you gotta stick with it. We wrote down, we had a book. We write down how much we sow and how much came in. And the Lord started blowing us out the water so much we just left it alone. We did it. Now, we did it for a year or two. We'll sow seed and then put the date down. And the money come back in three and four times as much. We write that down. And then it come in sometime a whole lot, 50% more. We write that down. And finally, it just seemed like you train yourself to the point that you don't need that no more. You see, how would you like to live without a budget? That's where you're supposed to be. See, a budget didn't come from God. Can you imagine God having a budget? See, budget is man finance economy. When you get straight in your sowing and get to believe in God right, you're not going to even need to balance your checkbook. It can't bounce. It can't bounce. If you overwrite what you got over in your checking account, the people at the bank can't bounce it because they know you got so much backup. I see you there. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to pastor no church. You just get on the same principles that it, and use those principles. Find you some good soil and keep on sowing. I had this couple came to my house the other day, and it was kind of cool. And my wife and I walked around the kitchen, and we had this thing out there, the gate, and the phone rang, and you could talk to people. He said, "How can I get in here? I got some money I need to sow today." I said, "I'll come out on the front porch, come through that center gate." So him and his wife both got out. I ain't knew both of them would get out. They both got out. And they came towards me. He took his cap off. And he said, "My wife and I, we just had to come sow there." Well, I took it, it was a piece of paper wrapped up. I saw some money in it. But I got there, man, that was a $1,225. They come run me down to sow it. You see, you got to be kind of cranky to sow. You got to kind of lose it. I'm telling you, y'all. You got to kind of lose it because you go to adding and stuff like that and wondering about this and that and trying to find you some old broke Joe with some holes in his shoes to sow in. Talking about that's good ground. You're crazy as a basketball. That ain't no good ground. What happened when the Queen of Sheba came to see Solomon? This is crazy, man. So, you know, we can't even imagine Solomon's wealth. You can, because God told me he'd be the richest man ever live. And that woman looked around, and Solomon just drove her out of her mind. The Bible said, I was preaching with Cruffalo, and I got to preach this thing in the dome, and I said, and the Spirit of God said, you remember me saying something about she fainted? No, she wasn't. What did you say she did? He said, no, say something she did. How she lost her breath or something. And the Lord said she fainted. She fell on. And when that revelation came out, that whole row went over that whole auditorium. I said, Solomon's wealth made her faint. Yeah. Now, this is a wealthy woman herself. Right. She know wealth. Right. What she did when she got up, what she did when she come through, yeah. Went to her wagon and unloaded ten of thousands, and gave it to Solomon. What's she doing? Yeah. Is the crazy woman crazy? What's she doing? She tapping into the gravity of the anointing. That's what y'all doing when y'all do this. I don't talk about it much. That's what you're doing. Don't be a dummy. Yeah. That's why God established this for you all. Yeah. Yeah. I told him about my jet. I'm trying to close. I told him about my jet. You know, I'm listening, talking to another minister, and went out there and put that jet out there and say, you can sew on and sew on it. Well, I guess the whole deal, they sold about $1 million, I guess. I might be a little more. Y'all ain't, they ain't paid for the jet. But then, that's not the way I pay for stuff. See? So God probably let it out there for you all. But that's not the way I deal. I sow. I sow my way out of debt. That's how the other jets was paid for. This one will be paid for before July of next year. I caught it. I caught it. I'm listening for the seed now. But you got to locate soil. You can't just sow down every field you go down because you see a few strawberries. You got to know if it's real. Is this a real harvest? Can it come up again? Anybody hang around me ain't got no business being broke. Not if they believe in my ministry. I'm apostolically, prophetically anointed for wealth. And every person who connects to my ministry. Y'all in school, let me talk to y'all. I'm talking to y'all about every person, every minister connects. Minister told me, just texted me the other day. The man said, man, I was on welfare. I'm receiving $30,000 a month now. He's talking about. And he said, look, it's just because I'm connected to you. I was on welfare. Me and my family was on welfare. I've been following you all these years. He said, now, it's $30,000 a month. I got a man in my church receiving a whole lot of money, up in the million. He just sold like a crazy man. He just like he's not thinking, like he's out of his mind sometimes. You know, he want to write a $100 check, he write a $10,000 and say, yeah, take this. All right, class. Trying to help you.